The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, December 11th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with John Hester of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. In agricultural news, the Bush administration and Congress continue to debate what should be in and what should be out of energy legislation. Also, farm bill debate is beginning in earnest after several false starts. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. Todd Gleason will also be by with an interview he conducted this morning with University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good after USDA released its December reports. And, of course, we'll have our Tuesday energy analysis. It's all on today's edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, providing independent commodity and financial analysis to clients throughout the United States. Risk Management Commodities Incorporated has offices located in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Tuesday afternoon at the CME Group, prices settled like this. December wheat, $8.94, down 15. March, $9.10.5, down 19. July, $8.06, down 18.5. December corn, $4.06.5, up 6. March, $4.24, up 6.25. May, $4.34.5, up 6.5. December, $4.42.25, up 2.5. January beans, $11.35.5, up 9.75. March, $11.54.5, up 10.25. May, $11.65.5, up 11.25. November, $10.56.5, up 1.25. December soybean meal, $3.15, up 3.50. December soybean oil at $45.58 was up 23. December live cattle, 94.30, down 10. January feeders, 105, 97.5, down 15. December lean hogs, 55.20, down 62.5 on the day. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is John Hester of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Dave.
Well, off of the opening bell, we got a pop that from the USDA reports, I suspect. And then we went into the doldrums until about mid-session. It looked like it was going to be sort of a buy the rumor, sell the fact kind of trade. And then we got news out of Washington, D.C., John, about energy.
Yes, I think the opening calls were basically about where the market ended up today. I think the opening this morning was a nice pop, but it wasn't as strong as anticipated. I think and the funds and locals or speculators decided to take some profit, especially in the wheat, and it backed off, and they tried to take it lower, and it got down a few cents, and they couldn't push it anymore, and a lot of new buying came back in and rallied the market, and it came up trading to on the plus side a little bit, steadied up a couple cents, and then the rumor came out about they were may put an ethanol package in the farm bill, which I don't know much more about it than the couple sentences I read, but I think that gave it a little life in the corn. The weather report came out of South America, and there's basically still calling for below normal rainfall down there for the next 5 to 7 days. And those two things together, along with the fact that they tried to sell it off and they couldn't, the funds came in and started buying. The last number I had on the funds were funds bought about 5,000 corn, 2,000 beans, 1,500 meal, and they sold about 2,000 week contracts. So I think it was definitely profit-taking in the wheat with anticipated higher world wheat plantings.
So let's look at some particulars, and we'll begin in that soybean pit, John, where we did make new contract highs again today and finished at the top of the range. And at the closing bell, we have word from the Fed that they took off 25 basis points off the prime interest rate. Does this mean that we'll have follow-through in that soybean market tomorrow?
You know, I don't know. I guess I kind of feel like that might be a little negative to the grains. I don't know whether everybody was anticipating that, so it may not make any difference whatsoever, but it sure was a strong close, and I suppose it depends on how the foreign countries perceive this interest cut rate on, you know, how their markets act tonight.
I certainly think that the lowering of the bond rate in the Fed did have some impact on outside markets today, especially crude oil and maybe the U.S. Treasuries as well.
I think so, probably. I know crude oil, you know, it's been up all day, and I think part of that, you know, is the interest rate and the buying power, but I think also part of the crude oil being up is a couple pipelines in Oklahoma that's also lost power out there because of the ice storm. And so, you know, I think, you know, the crude oil market is still very nervous on supply, demand, and that sort of thing.
We did trade over, I believe, $90 a barrel again today, or at $90 a barrel. I have to wonder, though, if that double top that we put in earlier this year on the upward move will hold into the end of the year.
That's a hard question to answer either way. I think it all depends on, you know, the weather, how much when they come out with their weekly and monthly gasoline and oil stocks comes out. If there's huge drawdowns, I would not be surprised that we might still see $100 oil by the end of the year.
Meanwhile, over in the Treasury pit, 30-year bonds, I think they're up more than two full points and the yield falling to 4.50.
Well, that's I'm not very knowledgeable on the bonds, but I do know that's good for us people that have to borrow money.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and then head back to the grain pit. And a question from a listener who emails me, do you feel that in February we may see a break in futures prices from their current levels of trade right now?
I think there's a good chance that we might see that before. I think the government report comes out, I'm not sure the date, 9th, 11th, 12th of January, and that's going to be production from last year, wheat plantings, you know, probably some expected acreage for next year. And, you know, if the government would happen to raise corn yields, you know, back over that 155 bushel per acre, for the final estimate for 07, you know, I think that could, and the beans, I think that could have an effect right there. I think that will be a huge report to give direction for the market for the next couple months after that comes out. So the answer to the question is yes, I think the market could break middle of January to the 1st of February.
Does the market trade sideways to slightly softer and consolidate between now and the report?
Well, a person thinks that it should, but it just seems like this market's not ready to trade sideways yet. It backs off 3 or 4 cents, and it just moves up 10 or 15. So, you know, the trend is up, and it appears like, you know, we've broke out of the top end of all the ranges, and, you know, it backs off a little bit. I've got to say the trend is up for right now, you know, because, you know, like I say, we broke out of the top end of all the ranges at the present time. So it may try to consolidate between now and Christmas. I don't know. Or, you know, beans have been up, what, 3, 4, 5, 6 cents, 10 cents every day for almost 2 weeks. So back off one day and away they go again.
So what should producers who are looking to hedge their crops do about this?
Well, I stated this morning, I think at fall corn at over $4 off the combine, I think you have to price of 10 to 20% of your crop at this. I think at beans at around $10 off the combine fall, I think you have to price some of your crop at that, 10 to 20%. I mean, these are too good of prices to let slip away and hope that's your worst sale. Cash corn that you have on hand at home, I think I'd be pricing it now for whatever delivery period you would like. They're wanting corn now, and the basis levels are pretty good around here, so I would say you price it now and haul it later.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much. Bye, Dave.
Bye-bye. John Hester of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, will be joining us for a look at agricultural weather. AM 580's meteorologist Ed Kieser has plenty of warnings to share with us today. Says an ice storm warning is in effect for much of northwestern and north central Illinois into extreme northeastern Illinois until midnight. A winter storm warning is in effect for extreme northwestern Illinois until midnight. A freezing rain advisory is in effect in the Chicago area and the I-80 corridor of northeastern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana until midnight. An ice storm warning is in effect for far west central Illinois from 4 p.m. this afternoon until midnight. And a dense fog advisory is in effect for much of central into southern Illinois until 6 p.m. and for all of central portions of southern Indiana until 4 p.m. Eastern Time. In agricultural news, the White House and Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee are at odds over whether a new renewable fuels standard should include a safety valve that would allow the EPA to phase out the RFS mandate if there is, quote, a significant renewable feedstock disruption or other market circumstances. The White House wants the mandate. Energy Committee Ranking Republican Pete Domenici is opposed. Domenici says without long-term stability in the RFS, it will be difficult for producers and industry officials to obtain needed loans to expand the industry. Washington Insider reports today that it expects the Farm Bill floor debate in the Senate to be vigorous and messy. USDA Acting Secretary Chuck Connor took the opportunity yesterday to continue his criticism of Senate Farm Bill policy.
The wrong path is really the direction of taxes and budget gimmicks that the Senate has relied so heavily upon. $15 billion of new tax in this bill, $22 billion of budget gimmicks where they claim savings but openly acknowledge that it's not going to result in one dime change in federal spending, and yet they're claiming it as a savings and spending it in this farm bill. You know, the farmers we talk to, this is not what they want. Certainly they don't want to grow the size of government. You know, farmers are the most honest people on the face of this earth. They don't want their government misrepresenting what the true cost of this farm bill is.
Connor adds he's concerned that the Senate will not go far enough to support conservation, energy, and nutrition programs.
The consequences of not doing a new farm bill are enormous. Again, we've identified a lot of the problems with current law, which include the fact that current law gives the most help when the producers really don't need it much at all. It doesn't do much in terms of energy development. Our future is going to be about energy. You know, we need a new farm bill that really gives high priority to energy. Just some of the types of things that you're going to lose if you don't get a new farm bill.
Washington Insider says expect a number of the 40 farm bill amendments that will be offered to include broad reform efforts as well as an alternative approach to farm policy. That amendment is being offered by Indiana Senator Dick Lugar and New Jersey's Frank Lautenberg. The amendment would reduce and or eliminate direct subsidies by fiscal year 2014. At least five individual amendments have been introduced, including the hard subsidy cap measure of Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. His bill would cap subsidies to married couples at $250,000 a year and $125,000 for individuals or corporations. Grain industry officials speaking in Chicago yesterday say the Bush administration is forging ahead on a 35-billion-gallon renewable fuels mandate in the event congressional energy legislation fails. Marathon Petroleum Company Fuels Technology Manager Mike Lester says, quote, people at the EPA think it's crazy to mandate such a large volume of renewable fuels, but they are under orders from the White House to go ahead. The proposed regulations have been drafted and will be rolled out as early as January 1st if Congress fails to pass comprehensive energy legislation. That bill is currently bogged down in the Senate. Meanwhile, key Senate staffers say that a renewable energy standard is likely to be cut from the final version of the omnibus energy bill. The measure would require electric companies to produce 15% of their energy from renewable sources by 2022. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
I'm Todd Gleason at the 2007 Illinois Farm Economics Summit in Effingham, Illinois, talking with Daryl Good this morning, USDA. Daryl, on Tuesday morning of this week, December the 11th, released some numbers. Tell me about them as you see them and what kind of changes they might make in the marketplace.
Well, I think the changes from last month pretty much confirm what we've been seeing on the demand side over the past month. Right across the board for corn, soybeans, and wheat, USDA raised their forecast of exports for the current year, added 100 million to corn, 25 to soybeans, and another 25 to wheat. And as a result, we are seeing projections of much smaller year-ending stocks of all three of those crops, wheat and soybeans, critically tight at the end of the year. And as a result of the price action that we have seen and now expect, USDA raised its price forecast for those three commodities, their forecast of the average farm price for the current marketing year. So I think the changes maybe were in the direction that the market expected, but I'm guessing maybe a little bit larger increases in consumption than was expected. I just have to believe that these are pretty friendly numbers, even though prices of those three commodities are already at pretty high levels. This pretty much ensures that we're going to stay at these price levels for, I think, the foreseeable future.
I think there may have been three numbers that really jumped out at you on corn. It was the export number. On soybeans, it was the average price. And for soybeans, it was the amount that they ended up dropping the year-end carryout.
Right. On corn, a full 100 million bushel increase in exports at 2.45 billion. That puts us at a record level of exports. That's, the record is now 20 years old, and it looks like we're going to exceed that this year. Soybean prices, USDA has been catching up all year long. They raised their average price forecast by 75 cents a bushel in this report. And on wheat, lowered the estimate of year-ending stocks by 30 million bushels. So just confirms, not only in the U.S., but worldwide, extremely tight situation, and underscores some of the supply concerns we now have around the world. The U.S. Hard red winter wheat crop, dryness in India, Pakistan, Argentina. Stay tuned. I think this is going to be an exciting period right in front of us here.
Thanks much, Daryl.
You're welcome, Todd.
Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist at the University of Illinois, speaking to us from the 2007 Illinois Farm Economics Summit in Effingham, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This time we were hopeful of having Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University to discuss the energy markets, but he is unavailable. Let me share some energy news with you. U.S. crude oil futures rose today, finishing the floor session at $90 a barrel after the Federal Reserve cut the benchmark Fed funds interest rate by a quarter percentage point. That was widely anticipated by the trade. Crude futures had risen above $90 prior to the Fed's move, boosted by Midwest storm-related infrastructure snags, as well as Texas Gulf Coast fog-delayed shipping. And as I look at the technicals for the January crude oil contract, I see today that they traded both sides of their 10 and 50-day moving averages, but managed to finish the session above both moving averages today, but still well off the double top that was set in November of its contract high of 992.9, the contract high there. Oil also is looking to continue to perhaps see some follow-through as that deadly ice storm in the heartland brought operations at the crushing Oklahoma storage hub to a standstill today. The storm knocked out power to more than 800,000 customers and forced oil producers to shut more than 20 million barrels of oil terminal storage. Several pipelines, including the 350,000 barrel per day Seaway pipeline from the Gulf Coast, was also reduced or halted throughput on this particular day. Soupy fog has also triggered a slowdown in oil imports that is helping to push U.S. oil crude inventories to their lowest level since March of 2005. And the outage helped end a slump that has dragged oil prices off its record highs of $99 a barrel in November amid concerns that a slowdown in the U.S. economy could damp demand growth in the world's top consumer, that being the U.S. And that's a look at energy-related news.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A fire in the small Champaign County village of Penfield has left one person dead. The county coroner says they'll have to rely on dental records to identify the body, though he says it appears to be an adult female. Firefighters found the body while trying to put out the morning fire on Penfield's East Street. The Champaign County clerk is anxiously awaiting the result of two challenges that would affect the look of the February primary ballot. Mark Sheldon says any delays in settling challenges to county board member and candidate Brendan McGinty and a referendum in the city of Urbana could affect the absentee voting schedule. Sheldon says those serving in the military may be impacted the most by any delays. An electoral board is hearing more testimony this afternoon in the challenge against the Urbana petition to switch to an instant runoff voting system. A commission studying local government reform says Indiana should consolidate small school districts, reduce the number of elected local officials, and shift power from townships to counties. Some of those changes would require amending the state's constitution. House Speaker Patrick Bauer says some of those recommendations should be left up to voters, such as whether county sheriffs should be appointed rather than elected. Republican State Senator Connie Lawson says it's an opportunity the state can't pass up. The U.S. Army says it's passed the halfway mark in destroying the nation's stock of chemical weapons. The work began with the Chemical Weapons Convention Treaty, but the Army says it'll be at least another 5 years, maybe 10, to reach the 90% destruction mark. The Newport Chemical Depot in Indiana is farther ahead. The Army says it's neutralized 71% of the VX nerve agent stored there for decades, and half of the neutralized substance has been trucked to and incinerated at a Texas facility in a process that's caused some controversy. Chicago City Council is set to vote on a chicken ban tomorrow after getting complaints about residents and their clucking chickens. After putting out the welcome mat for bees and fighting to protect goose livers, some Chicago aldermen want to pass a law making it illegal to keep chickens. The former barnyard denizen is pecking its way into cities across the country as part of a growing organic food trend among young professionals and other urban dwellers. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
I don't think we're probably out of the woods yet for Midwestern potential storm weather this week.
No, there's another system that's going to come out of the Southern Plains. A system that brought ice and snow and rain to winter wheat country is now going to be kicking off to the northeast and heading right towards the Midwest and Corn Belt. So you said it best. We're not done with it yet, although after this system, we will catch a break.
So what is the potential for precipitation and icy weather out of this system?
Very high, and covering a large part of the Midwest. Really, all of the Corn Belt will be affected by the system, with the western and northwest edges of the storm across Iowa, northern and central Illinois, northern Missouri, back into northeastern Kansas, looking at the worst of the ice conditions. But that icy, wintry weather mix will just continue to track east into the Ohio Valley, then eventually New England by later this week.
Bad enough to slow down delivery of livestock to market, I take it?
Definitely. Roads are just in miserable shape and slowing down everything. But if there's a silver lining, and that's the winter wheat areas, that they desperately needed some moisture in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and the wheat areas of eastern Colorado, and they all have picked up some good moisture. Some areas of southwest Kansas, over an inch of rain, or some of that is in the form of some ice, but the best moisture they've had in weeks.
Let's turn our attention to South America, Brazil in particular. Looks like they got a significant amount of rain across a wide portion of the nation on Monday and early today.
Yeah, and there's probably more coming, although I think the areas that got the heaviest rain earlier in this week, we'll see that shift into more of the northern areas. Brazil doing very well with precipitation, but Argentina a little bit drier. Northern Argentina's gotten a little bit of moisture, but Argentina in South America, that's the area that could use some rain.
Santiago in particular?
Yeah, really all of Argentina, but the central and southern growing areas the most.
And what about back to Brazil? What about Rio Grande do Sul? Are they a subject to net drying over the next week to 10 days?
Not a lot. Their precipitation chances are going to remain fairly high. Temperature conditions there are likely going to be favoring near to a little bit below normal. So the trend is going to be wet for most areas, or at least chances of getting wet.
What areas of concern are you keeping an eye on these days?
Well, we are watching conditions down under, also in Australia. They've had a little bit better luck at getting moisture. There's still, well, there's a long way to go to get out of their drought, but the precipitation so far this season has been a little bit better and looks to be better as well.
In fact, it appears that they're having some harvest delays, if you can believe this, in winter wheat areas because of rain.
That's right. And, of course, that's really good news all the way around. And one thing that has happened in the Pacific is the water temperatures are a little cooler than normal. It's a La Nina, which is good for Australia because they have been hit hard in the past few years by El Nino, which is usually brings drought to that area. So maybe the water temperatures and conditions of the Pacific will help out Australia and New Zealand.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don joins us every Tuesday afternoon here on AM 580. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILL.AG.org. This is Dave Dickey.